So here we are. It's March 17th, and we're studying the Kingdom of God. We're on session number 64 in the Kingdom of God. And we have been looking at lately the idea of empowerment, on how Jesus Christ empowered the 12 and the 70 that he sent out to heal and to cast out devils and to preach his word. And we looked at how God had empowered Jesus Christ, how he put his spirit upon him and he worked in him constantly. And then we looked at the empowerment of the believer in Jesus Christ, how we have received the gift of Holy Spirit, which gave us all the enablements, and we've been given authority to do his works. The key verse that we looked at that gives us that authorization to do the works of Jesus Christ is John 14:12. We've looked at that a number of times, and we'll look at it once again. John 14:12, Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples after the Last Supper, said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now, we've looked at this from a couple of points of view, but I was looking at this again today and thinking the works that Jesus Christ was doing, that we who believe on him shall do also. What always springs to mind immediately when we see that the works that I do, shall he do also, are the signs, miracles, and wonders, right? Healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, making the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the paralyzed to walk, calming the storm, walking on the water. Those things come to mind immediately, and those things are included because those are things that he did. But we want to look at the other things that were the works of Jesus Christ. Now, the signs, the miracles, and the wonders, we looked at the thing that enables us to do those things is that gift of Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the Spirit. And we saw that there's 9 manifestations of the Spirit. To do signs, miracles, and wonders would be the manifestations of miracles and gifts of healings, right? Now, in order to do those things, there must be not only the enablement of having that Spirit within and the authority of being authorized to do those things in Jesus Christ's name, there must also be a willingness to do them, because God doesn't control anybody. It's not automatic that those things will be done. And there must be instructions, especially when it comes to miracles and healing, there must be instructions from God. Okay, you don't just decide to do one and command it to be done and expect it to happen, but God works in you. God reveals to you by word of knowledge what is going on, what is going to happen, word of wisdom, what to do, step by step. He'll give you the instructions. Discerning of spirits, what's going on regarding spiritual, like devil spirits, or are there angels involved? Discerning of spirits, I believe, also can let you know that it is indeed God that is talking to you, because you're discerning the spiritual conditions and the spiritual entities that you're dealing with. So God would reveal to you what's going on, what to do, how to do it, and then believing, the manifestation of faith or believing, you believe what God tells you without doubting, and then you produce the miracles, you minister the healing according to God's direction. It's not just a matter of asking God to do a miracle for you, but God working in you to do the miracle, okay? Now, among this group, there's some of us that have witnessed miracles, that have done miracles, okay, at God's direction, and maybe there's some that have not so far. That doesn't mean you never will. It just means that God hasn't worked in you or instructed you to do any so far. Everyone has the potential ability and the authority to do so. You need to believe that you have the ability, and you need to believe that you have the authority, and then God can work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. First to want to do it, and then work in you to do it by letting you know what to do, and then God provides the power that brings it to pass, you see? So if you'd like to learn more about the manifestations of the Spirit and how they operate, there is a series that we did a couple of years ago called Your Operation of the God-Given Ability. So if you go to fillaword.org to find these teaching series, you go where it says Teaching Library here, and then Teaching Series. This is where you'll find the Kingdom of God series that we're doing right now, the Men of God series that Sid's doing currently. Your Operation of the God-Given Ability is in there. Dynamic Christian Living, Trials and Tribulations of Jesus Christ, The Mystery Revealed, Demonstrating God's Power, The Blessings of God, Daniel, The Whole Heart, Prayer, Abraham, Overcoming Fear. There's a lot that has been recorded and put on the website here for you to use as a reference, okay? So Your Operation of the God-Given Ability covers all 9 manifestations and many examples from the scriptures on how they were operated and the instructions that are given in the scriptures so that you can know how. Now, the miracles that Jesus Christ did, that was only a portion of what we would call the entire set of works that he did, okay? So when Jesus Christ said, "The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto the Father," it's not limited to signs, miracles, and wonders, okay? That was only a portion of what he did. So what I wanted to look at tonight, what are the other things that were the works of Jesus Christ that we, as the ones who believe in him now that he's gone to the Father, that we are enabled and authorized to do, okay? So if you go to John chapter 6, verse 38, this is kind of a broad category here that covers really all of them. But he said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Okay? So Jesus Christ doing the will of God, whether it was from what he learned from the scriptures concerning himself and what he is the Messiah, the anointed of God, would need to do, between that and God working in him directly because he had the Spirit of God upon him, remaining upon him, and he had that open access to God, between the scriptures and the Spirit, he would know what God's will was in each situation that he was in and be able to carry it out. Also for us, we are to seek the will of God in all situations. We know the will of God for us from what the epistles say and from what Jesus Christ said in the Gospels about those that would believe on him, and because we have the Spirit of God in us. We have that gift of Holy Spirit, so we have access to God, and God has access to us to will and to do of his good pleasure. He can work in us, you see? He works in us. He is working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So anything that we do that's the will of God is the works of Jesus Christ, because that's what he did. That's all that he did, okay? So it covers a lot of ground. Now, in Luke chapter 4, this is the verse that Jesus Christ read when he was in the synagogue at Nazareth regarding himself. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to do certain things, to preach the gospel to the poor." Okay? So when Jesus Christ was preaching the gospel to the poor, the humble ones, he was doing the will of God. We also are able to preach the gospel to the humble ones who will hear it. Okay? When we're doing that, when we're preaching the gospel, when we're letting people know that the kingdom of God is available to enter into, when we let people know about salvation, we are doing the works of Jesus Christ, you see? He also sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And that's not just physical healing, but he ministered to the hearts of people. He let people know, for example, their sins were forgiven. He encouraged people. He picked them up after they fell. He did so much for people's hearts, and we can do that as well. We can heal the hearts of people. Again, it's going to be at God's direction. But that's one of the things that we can do. That's also the works of Jesus Christ, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. I think of the casting out of devil spirits when Jesus preached deliverance to the captives. They were captivated, but people can be captivated in a number of different ways. So we help people to be released from the prisons that they're in, the mental prisons, the bondage that they're in. That's doing the works of Jesus Christ. And to preach recovering of sight to the blind. And that's on two different levels. That would be the physically blind, like Jesus Christ healed the man who was born blind. He healed blind Bartimaeus. He healed a number of blind men who physically could not see. And he ministered to them, God letting them know what to do, and they would be able to physically see. He also opened the eyes of people's understanding so that they could understand the will of God. They could understand what the kingdom of God was all about. They could understand things that would be coming in the future, that they would be ready for it, you see? So that's the recovering of sight to the blind on both levels. We can minister healing to a blind person. We can open the eyes of someone's understanding by teaching them the word of God. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Again, Jesus Christ did that. We can do that for people as well. We can help them in the situations where maybe they're physically bruised or crushed, or emotionally or mentally bruised. We can help them. And we're doing the works of Jesus Christ when we do that. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, that was the year that he was in. We can teach people about what happened during that year, okay? And the things that are coming down the road as well. Mark 1, this is, I think, the verse that we started with when we started looking at the kingdom of God, verse 15, Mark 1, 15. Well, we'll start in verse 14. It says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So he preached it. That's a public announcement, like the town crier. He would let people know that the kingdom of God that the scriptures told about, it's at hand. So at this time, the action to take is to repent, turn in your heart back to God, and then believe the gospel, believe that the kingdom of God is at hand. And those that believed responded to the preaching. He was then able to teach. Like in verse 21, it says, they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue, and he taught. Okay, so preaching is just publicly making known a message that needs to be delivered on behalf of God. The teaching would be opening up the scriptures, the things that the scriptures said, so that people could understand them. Like the teaching on the hill that we spent so much time looking at. He taught those disciples so that they could understand how to do the will of God. What to do, what not to do, how important they were, contrasting what he was teaching them to do with what the hypocrites were doing for show. For example, he was teaching them these things. So when we preach, like Romans 10:9, when we teach anything in the Word of God, we're doing the works of Jesus Christ. Okay? John chapter 1. This is an important thing that Jesus Christ did throughout his whole ministry. Verse 18, it says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And the word declared means to consider out aloud, to rehearse, to unfold. That would probably be the best meaning in this context. He unfolded. He let people know what God was all about. Because people couldn't see God, because he's invisible, he's spirit. But they could see him, right? And he could let them know what God was all about. In fact, in John 14, we've read this before, and we'll look at it again. Starting in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, he's talking to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So for us to do the works of Jesus Christ is to lead people to God through Jesus Christ, right? And he said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The works that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So these works that he's talking about here are works that would reveal the Father to people, that would reveal how powerful he is, that would reveal how loving he is, that would reveal how kind he is, how faithful he is, how true he is. So we have that privilege. We have God in Christ in us. And as we're just walking according to the Word, then people can see what God is like. If we're doing what Jesus Christ did, we're loving, we're speaking the truth, we're helping people, they can see what God is like through us. They can see what Jesus Christ is like through us, because we're his hands and feet in this period of time. Look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. This is one of the many verses where Jesus Christ stated his purpose for coming. And he said, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Okay? And pretty much everybody was lost, so he came to save everybody. And we can find those people that are lost, and we can help them to be saved through Jesus Christ by sharing the Word of God with them, and by loving them, and by caring for them. You see? There's some people that God can reach through you particularly. When you think of the person that shared the Word of God with you, that you responded to, and there is somebody because you're here, right? And most of us aren't here because we were raised in the Word of God, some perhaps, but a lot of us are here because there was one person that we met that reached out to us and shared the Word of God with us in a way that we could respond to it. Mm-hmm. And there's people out there that will respond to you the way you share the Word of God. And God knows who those people are, and he knows who you are, and he will orchestrate things to get you hooked up together, just like he did already with you. You see? Mm-hmm. Through you, he can reach somebody else that will respond in your unique way of sharing the Word. So you don't have to do it the same way somebody else does it. You just do it in your way, because God knows that. He works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, Luke 9, verse 56, and this is in the saving category here. He said, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And this is in response to James and John. There was a village of the Samaritans that didn't want to listen to Jesus Christ because they saw that his face was heading towards Jerusalem. And the Samaritans were kind of at odds with the Judeans in Jerusalem, so they didn't accept him there. And then James and John said, hey, Lord, in verse 54, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias or Elijah did? They remember that record where the king sent a captain to Elijah to arrest him and said, come down from that hill, O man of God. And Elijah said, if I'm a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your band of 50 men. And James and John said, hey, we can do that, right? We have the Spirit of God. You want us to command fire to come down from heaven to consume them like Elijah did? And he turned and rebuked them. And Jesus Christ said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Now, just because God worked in Elijah to do that at that time, that doesn't mean that's the appropriate thing to do at this time. He said, my mission is not to destroy people's lives, it's to save them. And even though they didn't accept him at this time, maybe they would later on. So, same thing with us. We're not here to destroy anybody. We're not here to tear anybody down. we're doing the works of Jesus Christ when we're doing our best to save people. Now, John 10, this is a familiar one here, about his works, what he did, what was his purpose. Now, in verse 10, he said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So when we share the word of God with people, especially when we share with them about salvation, that's that they might have life, right? We're doing the works of Jesus Christ. He came to make it possible and make it available for people, but then we continue his work by reaching out to the people that we have contact with in this day and time, you see? About 2,000 years after he made it available, it's still available for people. So when we share that with people, we're doing the works of Jesus Christ. And for those that are saved, we might meet people that are saved, but we can also help them to have life more abundantly by teaching them what it is that they received when they were saved. What did God give them spiritually? What did God provide for them? Open the Word of God so that people can understand better their relationship with God as their Father, okay, their position in the body of Christ as a child of God, what they're able to do, what God wants them to do, and then their life will be more abundant, right? Knowing those things than if they didn't know those things. So there's a lot of people that have the potential ability, but they don't know it until somebody explains it to them from the scripture, you see, and with God working in you to help that person to understand. You know, remember Apostle Paul said that his mission was to present every man perfect in Christ, not only saved, but knowing what they had and being able to function as a member of the body of Christ. And he said in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." So we also have the opportunity to shepherd others. You might have the responsibility of overseeing some other believers to help them, to care for them, to feed them with the Word of God. And he said he gave his life for the sheep. He wasn't afraid of the enemy. He wouldn't run away when the wolf or the lion would come, right, that a hireling might do. It was his own sheep, and he would lay down his life for them. And, of course, he gave his life and was able to receive it back again. But we also give our lives in service to one another. Now, John 3:17. This is also in the saving category, but there's an angle here that I think is significant, where Jesus Christ said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." This is similar, that he didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. But he also didn't come to condemn the world. And we need to remember that also, because we'll run into people that they don't know what the Word of God says, or maybe they're not obeying the Word of God, and we don't want to condemn them and have them come away from our conversation thinking that they're condemned by God, but we want to make that salvation available. Kind of like Peter on Pentecost, where he let that crowd know that they had crucified the Messiah, and then they realized that, well, we're in big trouble. We've killed the Messiah. What do we do now? And he said, well, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. So we don't have to be afraid to let people know that they're wrong, but to be wrong, it doesn't mean to be condemned, because some people need to be reproved and corrected, right? Whether they're believers or unbelievers. If they're unbelievers, they need the salvation. If they're believers, sometimes they need correction, but never condemnation, never condemnation. So we can restore people with the word. Of course, they have to accept it. But that's what we offer people, not condemnation, but salvation and restoration. Now, in Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, oh, this is a good one, verse 45. And this is following another situation with James and John. When James and John asked Jesus Christ if, when he comes in his kingdom, that they can sit on his right and left hand. And he said, that's not mine to give. That's up to the Father to decide the positions that people will be in at that time. And then he taught them about how authority and dominion that's exercised in the kingdom of God is different from the way it's exercised in the world. And let's start in verse 42 here. So Jesus called them to him, all of his disciples, and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. So it's a leadership that's from the bottom up. The leader's doing work to minister and to serve the others that he is responsible for, you see. Verse 44 says, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So the Son of Man, of course that's him, came not to be ministered unto. And that word, the Greek word, means to be waited upon, to be attended to. Kind of like you go to a restaurant, you get a waitress, right? She waits upon you, asks what you want. She brings you your food. She checks to see, how are you doing with it so far? Do you need anything else? Okay. And someone who is ministering to other believers will check on them. Ask, what is it that you need? What can I do for you? Anything you need prayed for? Can I minister to you? Is there anything that you need to understand? I can help teach you. And we do that for one another. And the one who is chief is going to do that for everybody. The one who is chiefest will be ministering to everybody, will be the servant of all. And that word servant is not just to be an attendant to, but it's like to be everyone's slave in the sense of not being bossed around, but taking care of the needs of everyone, no matter what it may be. Okay? Because that minister, the diakonos minister, he may or may not have a specialty of things that he does, but a doulos will do anything that he's instructed by the master to do. So the doulos will take his orders from God himself, but he will be involved in serving everyone that God has made him responsible for in a very committed way. When I look at the word servant, it can really mean one of two things. It can mean someone who's a servant or a slave because he had debts that he couldn't pay and he's working it off. Or it could be someone who's captured by an enemy and forced into slavery. Or it could be someone like Joseph was taken by his brothers and sold him to other people that sold him to somebody else. So he was a slave involuntarily. But there's another kind of slave. It talks about that in the Old Testament, that if an Israelite had another Israelite for a slave, an Hebrew slave, they were only allowed to keep them for 6 years, if it was like to pay off a debt or something like that. And at the end of 6 years, the one who had purchased the slave would allow him to go free with money and supplies to start life over again. And that slave could either take what was given to him and start his life over, or he could decide to stay with the master out of love for the master and the master's family, okay? Then he would be a slave for life. They would get a whole board in his ear and something that would mark him as the master's lifelong slave. So it would be a voluntary slavery, and it would be for the rest of his life. And when you read the word slave in the New Testament, like Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, or Peter, a servant of Jesus Christ, or this one here, he's the chiefest, is the servant of all. That's that voluntary lifelong servitude that's willing, okay? It's a willing servitude, but it's committed. It's a lifelong commitment, okay? Just to make that clear. So Jesus Christ was that to God. Even though he was the Son of God, it said he made himself a servant. We read that in Philippians 2 last time, that he made himself a servant to God. And that's that word doulos, which means that lifelong slave, okay? Because he wasn't paying off a debt to God. He wasn't captured by God and forced into work. He was voluntarily, even though he was his own son, made himself a servant to be obedient in all things for the rest of his life, okay? Even unto death. So this service to one another, whether we're just serving a small group of people or even one person, or if someone's given responsibility for a larger group to serve them, that service, that's doing the works of Jesus Christ. Okay? John 14:12, the works that I do shall he do also. Jesus Christ was doing this. He was serving everybody. He wasn't snapping his fingers and making them serve him. Okay? He wasn't saying, hey, Peter, come and shine my shoes for me. Hey, you, bring me a cup of coffee. No, he was the one that was serving everybody else. And in John 13, if you'd like to go there, he demonstrated that in kind of a dramatic way. Starting in verse 1, it says, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That's another thing that we are commanded to, that we in the body of Christ, those of us that believe in Jesus Christ, are commanded to love one another. It's like the big commandment that we're given to do, to love one another. When we're loving one another, we're doing the works of Jesus Christ. That's what he was doing. He was loving his own and he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, or an apron, would be maybe a better translation, a linen cloth that is like an apron that you would tie around your waist, for the sake of service. So he took an apron and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel or the apron wherewith he was girded. Now he did this knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. Okay? He had come from God and was going to God. Having this in his mind that he'd been given everything, all power, all dominion given to him by God, what did he do? He put on an apron and he served. The lowliest manner of service was to wash the feet of somebody. Usually a rich man, when he had guests come over, would have the lowest slave. As far as the servant hierarchy, they'd have the lowest one, would be the one to wash everybody's feet, because it was a dirty job. But Jesus Christ did this for his disciples. Then he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Because he would explain it to him shortly. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. So saying, if you do not allow me to serve you, then we can't have a relationship, because that's what I'm going to do. He was the chiefest, right? And he knew that the chiefest would be servant of all. Now, Peter called him Lord. He said, no, I'm your servant. You're not going to wash my feet. And in fact, he said, you're never, never going to wash my feet. And then he said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. That never didn't last too long, did it? And Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all, because he knew what Judas was going to do. It says in verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Do you understand what I just did? And now he's going to explain it. You call me master and Lord. So master means teacher, and Lord means your boss, your superior. Call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. I am your master, and I am your Lord. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And maybe they had never thought of that. Each one would think of their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but maybe they didn't think as much about the relationship with each other. But he said, look, I washed your feet, I also washed his feet. If I washed his feet, then you ought to also wash his feet. And you also ought to wash his feet, okay? To wash one another's feet, to do service to one another. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So, read a couple of more verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. And that servant is that doulos. He's not greater than his Lord. Neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. He that is sent, apostolos, would be an apostle. An apostle, one who is sent, is not greater than he that sent him. If you know these things that I've just explained to you now, about service, about washing one another's feet, about humility, then happy are ye if you do them, actually do them. Okay? Now let's go to John 17. This is another of the works of Jesus Christ. So whenever we're serving one another, we're doing the works of Jesus Christ. May or may not be signs, miracles, or wonders involved, but it's an important thing. It's a very important thing to serve one another. Okay, to help one another, to do whatever we can for one another. Now, John 17 is all about a prayer of Jesus Christ to his Father after the Last Supper, shortly before he's going to be arrested and crucified. And there's a lot to learn from this prayer. Verse 1 says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So that's one of the works of Jesus Christ, is to glorify God, right? When we do something that glorifies God, we're doing the works of Jesus Christ. As thou hast given him power, and that's the exousia, the authority, over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So when we extend that eternal life to others by sharing the word of God with them and teaching people about God and about Jesus Christ and the life that's available, we're doing his works. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. So he manifested God's name. That means he demonstrated to them God's dominion and authority. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So again, when we're sharing the word of God with people, and we're sharing the words that God gives us to share to somebody, you know, you don't have to figure it all out. You study the word, you learn the word, you memorize key verses. But when you're with someone, let God work in you. You don't have to plan your speech. No, just let God work with you on the spot. When you teach, when you're preparing to teach, let God work in you in the preparation. When you're delivering the teaching, let God work in you as you deliver the teaching, you see? So you're giving them God's words, not just your own. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. What's yours is mine, what's mine is yours. And I am glorified in them. So what did he do? What's one of the works of Jesus Christ? Praying for people. Did you know that when you're praying for people, you're doing the works of Jesus Christ? You're living up to what he said in John 14:12. You praying for other people, that's a big part of the works of Jesus Christ. He spent a lot of time in prayer, and a lot of that prayer was for the others, for the disciples, for those that would be the disciples, for those that had been his disciples. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Okay, he prayed for their protection. He prayed for their unity. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. I guarded them, defended them, watched for the predators. I've kept them, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. So again, when you give people the word of God, you're doing the works of Jesus Christ. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And he warned them about that. He said, the world is going to hate you because the world hates me. If it hated me, it's going to hate you if you're my disciples. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So to give them the protection as they're going, like God's provided us with the whole armor of God that enables us to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And we who believe in him are not of the world anymore, are we? We're seated in the heavenlies. That's where our seat is. That's where we function from, the heavenly realm. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Okay? And we've all been sanctified, the scriptures say. And we can teach others about that sanctification, that it's by the believing of the truth and receiving of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So we got in there. He might not have known who we were specifically at the time, but he prayed for those that would believe on him through the words of these disciples of his at the time. We've believed through the words of the disciples. So we got prayed for then. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Okay, so we prayed for their unity. Now it was a secret still that the Gentiles would be included here, because all his disciples were of Israel. But even though he might not have known that it included the Gentiles, in hindsight we can see that. Verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And again, all these things have been fulfilled in us who believe in Jesus Christ. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's given unto us. We know who God is. We know him as our Father. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're able to do his will. So when it comes to the works of Jesus Christ, doing the will of God, preaching the word of God, teaching the word of God, caring for people, serving one another, praying for another, all these are included in doing the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That's all for tonight. We'll come back next week and we'll look at some other cool things regarding the kingdom of God. Okay? God bless everybody.